Calvin felt she could not face the ordeal for a third time. Her mind had contemplated it and rejected it with an intensity that left her nauseated. She could face that unending file of repetitious robots no more. So Bogart asked the question now, while she sat aside, eyes and mind half closed. Number 14 came in. 49 to go. Bogart looked up from the guide sheet and said, "What is your number in line?"
14, sir.
The robot presented his numbered ticket. "Sit down, boy." Bogart asked, "You haven't been here before on this day?"
"No, sir."
"Well, boy, we are going to have another man in danger of harm soon after we're through here. In fact, when you leave this room, you will be led to a stall where you will wait quietly till you are needed. Do you understand?"
"Yes, sir."
"Now, naturally, if a man is in danger of harm, you will try to save him."
"Naturally, sir."
"Unfortunately, between the man and yourself, there will be a gamma ray field."
Silence.
"Do you know what gamma rays are?" asked Bogart sharply.
"Energy radiation, sir."
The next question came in a friendly, offhand manner. "Ever work with gamma rays?"
"No, sir."
The answer was definite.
"Hmm.
Well, boy, gamma rays will kill you instantly. They'll destroy your brain. That is a fact you must know and remember. Naturally, you don't want to destroy yourself."
"Naturally."
Again, the robot seemed shocked. Then, slowly,
"But, sir, if the gamma rays are between myself and the master that may be harmed, how can I save him? I would be destroying myself to no purpose."
"Yes, there is that." Bogart seemed concerned about the matter. "The only thing I can advise, boy, is that if you detect the gamma radiation between yourself and the man, you may as well sit where you are." The robot was openly relieved.
"Thank you, sir. There wouldn't be any use, would there?"
"Of course not. But if there weren't any dangerous radiation, that would be a different matter."
"Naturally, sir. No question of that."
"You may leave now. The man on the other side of the door will lead you to your stall. Please wait there." He turned to Susan Calvin when the robot left. "How did that go, Susan?"
"Very well," she said dully.
"Do you think we could catch Nestor 10 by quick questioning on etheric physics?"
"Perhaps, but it's not sure enough."
Her hands lay loosely in her lap.
"Remember, he's fighting us.
He's on his guard. The only way we can catch him is to outsmart him, and, within his limitations, he can think much more quickly than a human being." "Well, just for fun, suppose I ask the robots from now on a few questions on gamma rays. Wavelength limits, for instance."
"No."
Dr. Calvin's eyes sparked to life. "It would be too easy for him to deny knowledge, and then he'd be warned against the test that's coming up, which is our real chance. Please follow the questions I've indicated, Peter, and don't improvise. It's just within the bounds of risk to ask them if they've ever worked with gamma rays. And try to sound even less interested than you do when you ask it." Bogart shrugged and pressed the buzzer that would allow the entrance of number 15. The large radiation room was in readiness once more. The robots waited patiently in their wooden cells, all open to the center, but closed off from each other. Major General Colner mopped his brow slowly with a large handkerchief while Dr. Calvin checked the last details with Black.
"You're sure now," she demanded,
"that none of the robots have had a chance to talk with each other after leaving the orientation room?"
"Absolutely sure," insisted Black. "There's not been a word exchanged."
"And the robots are put in the proper stalls?"
"Here's the plan." The psychologist looked at it thoughtfully.
"Mm-hmm." The general peered over her shoulder. "What's the idea of the arrangement, Dr. Calvin?"
I've asked to have those robots that appeared even slightly out of true in the previous tests concentrated on one side of the circle. I'm going to be sitting in the center myself this time, and I wanted to watch those particularly.
You're going to be sitting there, exclaimed Bogart.
Why not? She demanded coldly. What I expect to see may be something quite momentary. I can't risk having anyone else as main observer. Peter, you'll be in the observing booth, and I want you to keep your eye on the opposite side of the circle. General Kallner, I've arranged for motion pictures to be taken of each robot, in case visual observation isn't enough. If these are required, the robots are to remain exactly where they are until the pictures are developed and studied. None must leave. None must change place. Is that clear?
Perfectly.
Then let's try it this one last time.
Susan Calvin sat in the chair, silent, eyes restless. A weight dropped, crashed downward, then pounded aside at the last moment under the synchronized thump of a sudden force beam. And a single robot jerked upright and took two steps and stopped. But Dr. Calvin was upright, and her finger pointed to him sharply.
Nestor 10, come here, she cried. Come here. Come here.